Ladies and gentlemen, it's the time once again for the Andy and Amanda Show. It's the free flowing Freaky Friday program. Starting in the UK, deep inside the UK, overlooking something. Amanda Love. And in Los Angeles, California, in our Hollywood studios, overlooking Rocky the Squirrel and Mutt and Jeff Blue Jay Birds, Andy Kimball. I'm joining the show as Andy and Amanda discuss topics such as sex, intimacy, romance, love. Okay, some other things too. What? We don't know. Maybe the news. Yes, politics. The weather. Call the show. 515-605-9888. So at least they have something to talk about. Call now. Lines are open. 515-605-9888. It's the Andy and Amanda Show.
Excuse me. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Are we on? Are we on the air? Are we on?
I think we are. Hang on.
Yes, we're on. We're on. Hello.
Hello. How are you? Hey, man.
I'm on.
We're back.
I'm on.
we're back to doing it again. This is going to be a fun, jam-packed show today. We have some great guests coming up on board the show. At least, who knows who's going to show up. You know what I mean? Whoever comes to the party is who's at the party. You know what I'm saying? But we have supposedly Kevin Michaels, the singer-songwriter of the country hit Down Home Georgia, joining us today. He couldn't make it last week, and he's scheduled to come on today in just a short while here, and then talk more about what is going on with that AMC projected.
Yeah.
Stock squeeze and some other stock investments, and just, you know, day trading and investing and gaining your financial well-being utilizing the stock market. Is that possible to do? And if it is, how? If it isn't, let's talk about that too. But it's going to be a fun day today. We're going from one extreme to the other, talking about everything from from country music and charting and writing songs and acting to the stock market, everything in between. And
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't want to hear that? I mean, come on. There's some good stuff right there, isn't it?
Yep, there is. There is. It's been a fun week on this show. We've had a real fun week this week. It's been a great time.
It's been great.
And, you know, I can't believe we're here. This is a Friday show. It's November 12th, 2021. If those of you who are archiving or listening or browsing 300 and some shows that we have up there, I think, in a podcast land, this is the November 12th, 2021 show, which is live. Speaking of which, if you want to call into the show, you can. I'll leave
if
it
you
that.
Dare, do you
if
dare?
You, I get, we should give them the number.
Come on,
we'll give them the number. We'll give them
I
number.
Think we should. Yeah.
All right, 515-605-9888 or email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to join. We'll show you how to do that over the internet if you have headphones and microphone and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, yeah, 515-605-9888 is how you join. Your co-host, Andy Kimball, in the United States, and Amanda Love in the UK, who have never met, 300 and some shows of Andy and Mandy, somewhere around there, Andy and Mandy.
Andy and Mandy, what is this nonsense?
Drank too much and he wore sloppy clothes and spoke bad Russian grammar.
That was funny.
Right, okay.
you know, but this show has just been having impact everywhere. It's just been,
and that would have tragic repercussions all over Asia and the rest of the world.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, we're trying. You know, we have And I got to figure out how do I do this real quick. We have some new countries on board here.
We do?
And I got to find out. I'll tell you who they are here. I think Egypt, or Egypt may have been, if Egypt may have joined us a while ago, but I don't know if you gave him credit.
Yeah.
I think we may have. I don't remember. I think, yeah. But Egypt, we have a small country in South America, Liberia. Is on board. Liberia. We have listeners in Liberia.
Wow.
We also have, isn't that kind of cool?
That's very cool.
Yeah. And United Arab Emirates. Also, Iraq. Well, no. Turkey. Pakistan. Turkey. Afghanistan. Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And Pakistan. Both are lit up.
Oh,
indicating
wow.
That we're getting listeners there. Our map. We have a world map here. And it lights up when our servers for our show indicate people are listening from that region of the world, so we know where our listeners are. So we have, you know, right in a row, India, right above India is Afghanistan, right above Afghanistan is, no, excuse me, India right above India is Pakistan, right above Pakistan is Afghanistan. So we are indeed all over the world. I mean, this is really cool.
Wow, that's incredible.
And
welcome,
those are live
everybody.
Listeners. Yeah, yeah, and these are live listeners. These aren't folks who are hearing the podcast later on. These are folks listening right now as we're speaking. And welcome aboard. Hope you are living happily wherever you are in the world and that things are going okay with you. We'd love to have you on the show. And knowing that you probably can't dial in from there, so we suggest that you take down this web address or email address and email us, and we'll schedule you to come on the show at a later show. Or we'll show you how to get on right now via the internet if you're capable of doing that, folks around the world. And here's how you do it. Just email andyanddemandyourshow@gmail.com. And in that email, in the subject matter, hit want to join your show. And we will get back to you and let you know how you do that. And we welcome you on board to link into the show via the internet. So it makes it possible for everybody around the world to join our show, which we've done in the past. And it's wonderful to do. So.
Absolutely. Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. We've got new listeners. That's incredible.
I'm
so grateful. Yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, North America and UK are strong, you know, very strong. The United States is the biggest market, of course. And,
of course.
And also UK, where you are, Amanda, is up there, and Mexico is up there, and Canada, you know. But anyway, it's just really cool. We started the show just out of a conversation and some ideas and wanted to go out there and make a difference. And people are listening to us and enjoying what we're doing. Why, I don't know. But they are, you know. So I guess
I'm still trying to work that one out as well, Andy, in all fairness.
You know what I mean? Like, what? Yeah, really.
We've got to be doing something right. Or maybe we're doing something wrong and they just want to hear that.
That's probably more like it than actually. That's probably more accurate. Yeah, that would, you know.
Fair enough.
You know, I would think, I want to talk about something we touched briefly on Wednesday.
Okay.
Seems like every show we have to go back to something we talked about the previous show. We spoke on Wednesday that, you know, getting back to Trump, who's been a big target of our conversation on the show ever since its inception, really, a year and a half ago, Donald Trump is trying his damnedest, his darndest, whatever he can do to prevent the insurrection, congressional committee investigating the root cause of the insurrection on January 6th. They're trying to, you know, figure out what the hell happened, how did it happen, what went on, so they can prevent it from happening again. And they want to find out who, if there's some culpability here, liability, really, if any one person may have had an aid inciting this. And we knew that one person would be. But anyway, so they wanted some 46 documents, which are in the National Archives from the Trump administration. They wanted them released for their for deposition and for their discovery. And they include Trump's own. You know, this, what's going on with the Trump presidency and what we're seeing now makes Watergate look like a cakewalk. I mean, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
We thought Watergate was bad at the time. This Trump, no pun intended, this Trump's Watergate by a mile, many miles. But anyway, yeah, really. So what was I going to say?
You know, I would love to be able to tell you that, but I'm really not so sure. I'm sorry. I do try.
Okay. I know you do. Thank you. Okay. Oh, yeah, here it is.
My brain's sticking.
So,
yes.
So here's what happened. So they went to court, the Congress, and they got the federal judge to say, yes, we agree you should have access to this paperwork. Trump filed a lawsuit claiming executive privilege. The lawsuit was denied, and the judge with, a 36, don't quote me on that, but I think it was a 36 or 46, something like that, page decision in summary, said that the president and you are not president.
That's right. Okay.
Literally, that's what the judge said, and there's no executive privilege here, and I command that the as a judge that this information be released to Congress by Friday, by today.
Right.
So then Trump went to appeal the decision with the same judge, and that was smacked down in a heartbeat, saying no. Sorry, it stands. And then they went to an appellate court to appeal that, and the appellate court, which is a three-judge panel, said, okay, we'll give you a stay so that you can prepare your appeal to the initial judges. So this is ridiculous.
Well, I was going to reply to that, but oh, what the hell, let's move on to something else.
But guess what? We have on the line, I believe I see this number coming in now, blinking, saying, Andy, you got somebody waiting for you. What the hell are you doing? We have. Hey, we do have somebody. Is this Kevin?
It is.
Kevin, hi.
Whoa. Hello. How are you guys?
Oh,
we're doing
absolutely fantastic, sweetheart. How about yourself?
Well, I'm lovely. Thank you very much.
Good. What we love to hear.
Just trying to recover from an operation I had just almost a month and a half ago, but I'm doing well.
Oh, sweetheart. Bless you. I'm glad you're on the mend.
This is life, you know? It's all right.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you made it here, and we're absolutely ecstatic about it.
Sorry I wasn't there last week.
Oh, it's okay, darling.
I gotta say, I listened to the show last night, though, and I you guys talked about me so much, I felt like I was there last week. Seriously. And by the way, Andy, I wrote the song when I was 14.
Not 15, sorry.
And you said that I was very much, 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 much older. You could have left a couple of those matches out.
Andy.
So what's up? What's the topic of convo today?
Well,
of course.
We want to congratulate you.
Me.
Amazing accomplishment. But with someone as talented as you are, and a gifted songwriter and singer and performer, and your history, there's no surprises. But definitely worth congratulating you on and a wonderful, an accomplishment in this song. Writing and producing the tune "Down Home Georgia." It's a great song. When one listens to it, it's very hard to get out of your head, and that is a sign of a good song. The other sign of a good song is, and this was again when you were 14, is that the tune is timeless. Whether you wrote it when you were 14 or you wrote the tune yesterday, and every day and decade and year between, whatever it might be, that song makes perfect sense. It's a great, great tune.
Timeless is what we aspire to. Time has come today.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, I had no idea that it would end up that way or that any of my songs end up that way, but... But I think when you write from your heart, they turn up that way. And that was something that was near and dear to me. When I was a young kid, my parents used to go down to Georgia occasionally, like on summers, which is a muggy time to go. But, my dad had to work the rest of the year. And, I guess he had been in the basic training in the Army in Savannah. So we used to go down there, and I quite liked it. And then I wrote the song about when I was missing it at one point.
It's
a beautiful place, Amanda was saying it, that she's heard about.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Savannah and Atlanta, two great cities, but Savannah is just so historic and beautiful, and you know, the people are so warm and friendly, and as are most of the people in the South, I find.
I've heard it's like a mini England there. Am I wrong?
Savannah, or just the South in general?
No, Savannah, sweetheart.
Perhaps a little. I mean, this is different, but you know, I believe a lot of the people, you know, I mean, maybe not so much anymore, but a lot of the people who, you know, go back generations in the South are of English, Irish, Scottish descent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that makes sense, actually.
Yeah. okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So,
yeah. I mean, but just a gorgeous place. I mean, it's... you know, it's really beautiful, and like I said, the people are very warm and welcoming, and yeah, I'm a big fan of it.
What I think I might want to do, folks, and is for those of you who are just joining us now for the first time, perhaps, or haven't listened to our previous show a week ago when Kevin was, you know, going to join us then, we played the tune. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, I guess we should get them familiar with it. And why don't we take a listen? Kevin Michael's song called Down Home Georgia, which is definitely, is climbing the charts like leaps and bounds, doing really well. And when we play it here, you'll know.
It's crazy, man.
It is crazy. Here it is, Down Home
Georgia. It's amazing.
Kevin Michael's.
Good.
doggy. Now
you oh, yeah.
is that
you gotta love the train.
Yeah, I love
that. That is a beautiful touch. A beautiful touch. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of people like digging on the train. What was weird is that right as the song was ending, the place where I'm staying in the moment, my exec producer's house, because I needed someone to look after me for a bit with the operation. Mm-hmm. And there's a railroad track nearby, and I was hearing like it in stereo because I was hearing it for real.
Oh, wow!
I was hearing a train whistle and the ding, 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 ding thing for real, and hearing it on the record at the same time. It's fun.
No, I actually like the sound of that. Is that weird? There's something about it that I really like. I don't know why. You know,
I think it just, you know, it's just folksy. It's like, you know, the especially the old trains in America, at least, are it's such a part of our history. And, you know, I think it's like almost becomes an inbred thing that we dig the sound, you know?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. So tell us more about you, darling. You know, like
here's
we've
money, Penny, I shall. well, Connery stepped in for a moment. it's a little something I've always done is people's voices. Because I haven't done it in years, and obviously our voice changes as we get much, 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 much older.
Yes.
So there's some I'm not as good at anymore, but that one stuck. I just like to talk about the song and what made it so special. I mean, I haven't recorded anything and had no intention of recording.
Yeah.
Again, it would be 35 years or more.
Wow.
And and then, like, you know, a friend, one of my more notable friends, Ringo.
Ringo Starr.
One of your lot. he, Amanda, yeah. He,
oh, wow.
He basically talked me into it. You know, I was kind of done with music for a long time. He thought it would be a great idea for me to get back into it. And he knew that I always had such a strong feeling about country and folk music and Americana when I was a kid. And that's where I started. As a little kid, I started writing songs that were more folky and country. And I actually made my first record when I was about 8 or 9.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that was a song I wrote called I Need You Baby. And I
aww.
Yeah, exactly, like I knew. But at the time, I remember I was sitting under the tree in my yard. We had a huge tree in the yard back in Massachusetts. Yeah. And I yelled, my mom was up in the kitchen window, and I yelled up to her to, do we have any staff paper or music paper with the, you know, I didn't know what it was called then, but, and she said, no, but I could make some. And mom told me afterwards, she was kind of chuckling to herself, you know, here's my 8-year-old kid thinking he's writing a song.
Yeah.
And I wrote the song, I wrote out the notes. And I wrote the lyrics down, and my mom and dad were so taken by it and so proud of me for coming up with something that young. I mean, it was weird too, because there were words like that I'm not quite sure I understood, like fluctuate in it. There was a line, my brain seems to fluctuate. I can't even concentrate. So they ended up springing for my first record. So I ended up doing that. I think we recorded it at my grade school in the auditorium. And then this guy, Harold Hill, the music man, I was never sure if he was the guy from the play The Music Man or what, but that's his name. And he called himself Harold Hill, the music man. And he made the record for us, and I'm sure he's no longer with us. But
bless him.
So it was, we made a record and put it out locally, and it played on the radio locally, and then eventually around Massachusetts. Didn't go real, all over the place,
yeah.
But it stayed more local and kind of, I did a, it got me a commercial later on, a couple of years later, for the Galleria at Worcester Center, which was the first Galleria in the country or something opening up.
Wow.
And that was weird because they always announced my name when they broke, the commercial would come on. And And I was like, it's embarrassing when you're at school. And come on, here's Kevin Michaels from Worcester Center, And I was like, oh my God, people are looking at me. It was strange. But anyways, that was kind of my start. And it was like, a love song, a very pretty kind of love song. But it was one of those, like Elvis did, where you had talking in the middle of it. Like, are you lonesome tonight? That sort of thing.
Oh, nice.
So like the whole second verse was spoken with all this emotion and, and all the emotion and love that an 8-year-old could come up with.
Oh, that's beautiful, though. Seriously,
now I guess it was cute. I don't
know. Yeah. Ed, you're not somewhere.
Yeah, and then I started to, I played at a one cousin's wedding at a golf course. It was at the clubhouse or whatever, at a golf course that was pretty well known, even on the national golf, tournaments, called Pleasant Valley.
Wow.
And I sang a song that they asked me to sing. And the guy who owned that had just built a hotel called the Sheraton Lincoln. And he asked me to, would I come and play in the lounge 3 times a week?
Cool.
And of course I wasn't old enough to play in the lounge, so my mom had to come with me. And they allowed that because of, mom came with me. But I mean, I actually ended up, when I think of it, the amount of money I ended up making, for a kid, for anybody. Mm-hmm. I think I was making more than my dad.
Wow.
I bought my mother the first microwave oven ever. It was like, it was almost as big as a bus, but it but she had it. She had it until we left that house. Years.
That's incredible.
So yeah, that's like, and I was playing there, the Platters were going to play in the main room, and I had happened to, in my act, I happened to sing "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes."
Oh my
God! And I was singing it, and one of the guys came in and heard me sing it, and then we were going in to see the show, and he invited me up to sing the song with them. And that was like my first at singing with somebody famous. So I got to sing "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes" with the Platters.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
And then, he has his weaknesses, but he has good people around him.
Oh, yeah, they were good. I mean, it seemed, that's not, that's still going on. I mean, when you think about the quality of, the legendary people and musicians that played for me down in Nashville and back here in L.A., down home Georgia, it's just incredible. I mean, these guys were amazing. I mean, we like after I talked with Ringo, and he kind of convinced me it might be good because my mom, who I had taken care of my mom for the last 6 or 7 years of her life. Well, longer than that, but I mean, where she was not able to take care of herself so much.
Yeah.
I kind of gave up everything at a point where I was kind of just about to make it in the movie biz. But, I got the agent I wanted, the whole thing, and I kind of just forfeited it all to take care of mom and did it for 24/7 because she was just the most precious person. And I adored my mother. And I had, I get a little misty even now. He's no longer with us. But I, so I ended up doing this song that I wrote for my mom's anniversary, my mom and dad's 25th anniversary. And I wrote this with my cousin, Paul Trinjic Jr., who was just an amazing, to me, one of the greatest guitar players ever. And, wow. I mean, I put him right up there with Eric Clapton and, this guy was amazing. And still is, I would assume. I haven't, we haven't seen each other in a while because he's living back east and taking care of mom. I hadn't been able to get back there and I haven't since. But we talk all the time. He was actually I know I'm jumping around a bit, but he was actually the influence on me that made me want to play music in the first place.
Yeah. Wow.
He started off a drummer and he was really good at that too, but then he switched to guitar and it was just amazing. And being the little cousin, he's just the closest thing I had to a brother because I'm an only child. He and his sister, Missy, were my brother and sister, basically. We grew up together. So I just wanted to be like the guy. And I kind of followed him into music. When my voice changed, it got interesting. I mean, life got real interesting. It took me across the pond and we were making records but we had written that song, this one song for you, which is the one that's coming out for Valentine's Day. And it's the second song we recorded in Nashville.
I got a preview of that. It's fabulous, folks. Wait till you hear that one and we'll play that on the show as well.
Thank you.
Great tune. Yeah.
And it's like one that near and dear to my heart because it was my mom's favorite tune. So, Andy, you saw the reaction that, that comes from the girls when I sing that song.
I have seen it.
Yeah. I mean,
personal. I've seen him play it live.
Yeah. I mean, even John Legend's wife, was like, had tears in her eyes and told me it's one of the most beautiful things she'd ever heard. So,
so excited.
I was there at night and night. It was amazing.
But, it's a very special song to me. And again, I was so fortunate to get these amazing players, in Nashville. And just to shout out, our team leader, we started with a guy who was a country legend. He was for 18 years the music director on Hee Haw, which was the biggest country thing ever.
Yeah,
I
remember that.
And it was a guy named Charlie McCoy. And he had also, prior to that, had played for Elvis Presley. We started with Charlie, who, was meant to be the team leader, as it were, but he played the harmonica on Down Home Georgia, which is, I think it's quite memorable. And then he played the harmonica and the vibe on For You. So that was really amazing. But then he was going to Sweden to play at some Elvis festival. And he, turned us over to this guy, just amazing. Amazing musician and a terrific guy named Mark Birchfield to be the team leader. And what he pulled together for me, I couldn't ask for more. Mark, the quality of the musicians, how fast they knocked off the songs was incredible. And Mark was played the upright bass. The stand-up bass, whatever you want to call it. He was just an incredible musician. His wife is this lady named Wanda Vick. And, these people are all like top-notch people in Nashville that everybody down there knows. And Wanda played, not only did she, do the finger-picking on the guitar, and the acoustic guitar, but she played banjo, mandolin, and fiddle. So yeah. She's a multi-talent, and she's amazing. And then they brought in some great people. This guy, Dan Dugmore, who is known as the king of the California sound for pedal steel. He played for 35 years for Linda Ronstadt, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Jackson Brown, people like that. And Jimmy Nichols, who was the music director for Faith Hill and Reba McEntire, played the keyboards.
Jeez.
You had a guy named James Mitchell, who was Alison Krauss's favorite guitar player. They call him the Nashville Cowboy. He was, you know, our guitarist and in the original session. And of course, Eddie Bears, who just now has been put into the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's won 15 years as best drummer for, you know, country music on the Country Music Awards. So, yeah, amazing, just an amazing team that Mark pulled together for us. And these guys are just, you know, the best of the best, in my opinion. I mean, I could only – the difficult part is going to be if they're, you know, locked into Nashville to keep doing session work, where am I going to find a band that good to go on the road? That's going to be the tough part, because these guys are so good.
But here's how I feel about that, just as a fellow participant in the music biz, that I think your talent as a performer and as a songwriter and a singer, it you know, if you put a qualified good, it's you. I mean, you're just so good. You've got such great stage presence that, you know, you're not going to get that Nashville band, you know, obviously, but there'll be others that might change the tune's dynamics somehow, some way, but it won't change the tune, what it means, you know, as long as you're there now, front man, you got it made. You got it made. You really do.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
I think I won't be able to walk through the door on the way out here, but thank you for that. Thanks, Andy. That's really kind. We had, you know, these legends like Charlie but then we also had like Spooner Oldham, who was, you know, him and Norbert Putnam, both, who were both two of the last remaining, I think they're the two last surviving members of the Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section, which, you know, was legendary in our time growing up, and before that even. I know Spooner has written like huge songs like I'm Your Puppet, played for everybody from Aretha Franklin, you know, to the Rolling Stones. I mean, and Bob Dylan. So he decided to play accordion instead of the Hammond B3 on Down Home Georgia. He just like, well, I got to run. He went home from, you know, he did that in Muscle Shoals too. So then he ran back to his house and got an accordion and played that. And just, you know, it just added so much to the song. And Norbert, of course, outside of the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, later became one of the key members in Elvis Presley's TCB band. And then I think he's the founder of the Nashville Cats, so he's been in like legendary, you know, group after legendary group. And he's amazing. So he played the electric bass. Who else? Let's see. Scarlett Rivera, I love Scarlett Rivera. She's so amazing. She's from Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review. She's the violinist. So, So she played the straight violin as opposed to the fiddle. And she was just, you know, she's just unbelievable. I mean, and you know, they're all such great people, too. And then the frosting on the cake, when we needed the lead solos and we were back in L.A., and then you couldn't ask for this, so talk about lucking out. Albert Lee, who's like a guitar legend, and he's English, by the way, even though he's playing mostly country. And but he ended up, he's Clapton's favorite guitar player, and he ended up playing lead guitar on both songs. And then Robbie Krieger from The Doors, who played slide guitar on the second song, which is yet to be released. So, I mean, that's quite a team. And, you know, I have a lot to be thankful. I mean, I feel so blessed to have even met those people, let alone had the pleasure to work with.
Well, the tune is great.
And they're friendships for life now, too. So that is another thing. I mean, I just... Great people. I mean, you know, Eddie Bears and Jimmy Nichols turned out to be, you know, part Italian like me. And we, you know, so we hit it off. We were like sitting in the corner telling jokes while they were prepping everything. And great, just amazing people, a lot of them. I mean, I can't wait to get back and do the rest of the album with them.
Yeah. It's
and the album is... Well, the album is, you know, it's a good start on an album that is going to be called Walking with Legends.
And, oh, nice. I like that title.
So you have, like, some legends there, obviously, on these two songs, and there's many more coming, including some more folks from your side of the pond, Amanda.
Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah, I mean... we have a very famous drummer that's going to pop in and, you know, do at least one or two songs, including one of his own, which we're going to do a countrified version of, which is, not to give away his name, but I think I've said it already earlier in the conversation.
We get that idea. We get it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I'm doing a song called It Don't Come Easy. In a country version as a homage
Can we talk about a funny story you told me? We were hanging out one night and you played me some tunes that you had stored in your phone, I guess it was. And there was a tune that you sang, and the guy who wrote it and sings it and is known for it was playing the drums. And something about is a cover, but he said if he was on it, it's not a cover. That was really funny. I forget the story.
Oh, that's that's Ringo, obviously. So
right.
And that's what actually happened is like I was saying like, well, you know, like I want to do, you know, at least five of my own tunes on the album, and then maybe five covers. And he said, well, it don't come easy. It's not a cover.
Right.
I'm doing his voice now. Oh God! It don't come easy. It's not a cover because I'm playing on it, son. You know, and that makes it
I love that story.
It a remake. And I was like, okay, I'll take that.
You're so good at doing voices. That is incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That man has been a blessing in my life.
Has Paul heard the song?
Huh?
Has Paul heard the song?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure if I've heard it or not, man. I don't know. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't seen him since the concert where he played at Dodger Stadium in L.A.
Right.
But that was great. I mean, one of the great things about knowing, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great things about knowing them. They're the Beatles. I was set to go to a $5 comedy show with some friends. And I got a call from Dickie Ogden, who was Paul's manager. And he said, Paul's playing at Dodger Stadium and would like to have you come as a guest. Wow. I said, when's the show? Tonight.
Wow.
So there went that $5 comedy show. and we got there and I mean, on the grass right in front of the stage, third row center, best seats in the house. And it cost thousands if you bought it, each seat. And I mean, he really took care of me on that one. And in fact, and this is kind of a funny story, and I don't think Richie would mind me, Ringo would mind me saying it, but I had this younger friend of mine who was a huge Beatle fan, and I brought him to take up the second seat. And so we're getting there, and I happened to look back, and then I turned to my friend, and I said, do you want to feel really important? And he said, sure, how? I said, look back about 15 rows and you'll see Ringo and Joe Walsh.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're here. I say that because I know they wouldn't mind. But it was great. I took pictures and videos, and we were so close, I couldn't even fit the whole body in.
Pictures. They're great, great photos. I saw some of them. Yeah fabulous.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
But, I mean, what an experience. Yeah. And I think for, you know, I mean, I've known those guys since I was young, and but the kid, I was thinking, like, he must have been, like, you know, crazy over the whole deal. I had one of my kids come out, and the first night he was here, I brought him to meet Ringo, and he was just stunned, because I didn't tell him that that's who. I said, we're going to go meet my friend Rich.
Oh my gosh, Rich!
Wow.
That's what he likes to be called from his friends and family, and he doesn't. Yeah. You know, Ringo's his fan name, and you know whatnot. But so I brought him to meet him, and he was just stunned. And he met Joe Walsh at the same time. So so he met one of the Beatles and one of the Eagles in one quick run. I'm overwhelmed with your life.
Yeah, we're talking about, Kevin has, we can go on and on. Kevin's got, been in the biz for a long time and spent quite a bit of time over in the British rock and roll scene as well, and has cultivated such great relationships. And the cool thing is, and here's the thing, there's a lot of people in the movie, in the entertainment business, you know, not just music, but entertainment business, that you wouldn't want to work with again, or if you meet them and you see them again, they're okay folks. They ego trips or this, so they gain the stardom goes to their head. Kevin is one of these guys that is just so down to earth and so genuine that, you know, and he's been around a while. He's got some amazing accomplishments and so many more to come. That I think that is a testament to why, you know, you've got all these friendships that just maintain themselves through the years, and just wonderful to see, you know, just a, you know, testament just to who you are, who your being is, you know, it's wonderful. It's
incredible. That means a lot. I mean, that obviously means a great deal to me, because I'm kind of a people person. So, I have my shy side, which you can't tell now, but I do have my shy side,
See, I'll tell you, Kevin and I are buddies here, and that's how, you know, got him on the show and stuff. And part of me, when I see him, gets starry-eyed, and then I have to get over that real quick. Okay.
Oh, no. I remember that time in the restaurant. We went to a restaurant together with Andy and his wife. Yeah. I went to the restaurant with them. And we get in there, and the waitress comes over, and Andy is like, this guy's a really famous person. And he said, oh, okay. And he was like, no, but I mean, a really, really fan. And I'm like, no, I'm not. So thanks for the build up, man. But, you know, if I could be one tenth as famous as the people who played with me on this record, I'd be happy. But it's just amazing. I mean, I feel so blessed to be able to do it again, because I really didn't want to for a long time. And then once I got a taste for it again, I was just over the moon, you know, especially playing the kind of songs that Mom wanted me to play, the songs I wanted to play, you know. And right before COVID started, a couple of things happened that were quite amazing. I found out that, which this was something that really is just one of the greatest things. Because basically, like I said, I was an only child. My dad had died, who was an amazing guy, had died, like, you know, 20-some-odd years before. And then Mom a couple of years before that. And my cousin Missy called me up, and she asked me if I knew this certain girl. And I said, this girl Julie. And I said, haven't seen her in years. And you know, we're not cut out from the same bolt of cloth or something. But anyway, it turns out that it was someone that I was with at one point back in the day. And so I found out that her son had done 23andMe. And for a school project, and he and this lady in Hawaii, a beautiful young woman, a doctor, epidemiologist, named Amy, who turned out to be related to him, and it turned out to be through me. So I found out that I have a daughter in Hawaii.
Wow.
Gorgeous girl. So we've talked so much on you know, the Zoom and that's, it's been amazing. I mean, I can't, it's weird to love people before you actually meet them face to face, but you know, I can't help it. I adore these people. And she has two teenage sons, Connor and River.
Wonderful.
And I feel like, you know, when, you know, God took my old family and gave me a new one, it's just, you know, I mean, I'm just sad that COVID got in the way, so I haven't been able to get there yet to meet them.
Of course.
But I'm hoping to go in early January and spend some time with them. And they just really, you know, I mean, I've only really spoken to Amy. But and like I said, we've had great conversations. She's just a great gal, and yeah, she actually put a video. She did a thing for the news over there about finding me because she'd been searching for me all her life.
Oh my gosh!
And,
Yeah,
and it was like, you know, you don't mind, do you? And I was like, no, I couldn't be happier. I mean, it's like about the only thing that makes me, you know, that I feel bad about is the fact that my mom and dad didn't get to know and meet them. You know, because my mother would have been just over the moon have a granddaughter and two great grandchildren.
See, folks, we are
a cool thing.
It is a cool thing, and that'll be remedied, and that's going to be wonderful to get, you know, when you get there and get acquainted and reacquainted.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
We are up against a break here, and then we're going to bring on our next guests who are waiting in the green room, so to speak, to talk about stocks and the AMC squeeze and things we've touched upon in the past and kind of get a grip on what's going on. And Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and you're welcome.
Yeah,
to hang
I'm glad
in there.
I could do it, man. You know, I just hope that can I do a little pitch quickly before you go?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
All right. I was just going to say that anybody who hears the song and likes it, there's a number of things on like nationalradiohits.com where you can go on and vote under the country category. And you go down and go to the far right when you find my name, and you can tag on that and vote for me and rise me up the charts. And then there's the Independent Music Network. You can do the same thing. Go to the far right of on the bottom of the page, and it says vote for country songs. You go down to the K's and find Kevin Michaels and click on it and just touch it, really, and it will – cast me a vote, and they.
Fantastic.
I guess I'm up for their for the New Music Weekly magazine's award show too. So that's another voting thing. So you know, I've had a lot of people. So far, I'm number one in votes. So
all right,
wow.
I keep that up so that I win something here, and then you know we're going to find out on the 28th, I think, of this month whether I get the nomination for the Grammy or not. I'm in the competition in two categories. So,
imagine, let's put those links, which I have, and I can forward to you. Let's get those links on our website so our listeners can go to andyandamandashow.com. Just go to andyandamandashow.com, and we will put Kevin's links to vote and whatever we can do to – I mean, it's amazing talent. It's amazing
thank you
guy.
So much. Yeah, it's great.
We'll do it, and we're going to have him back on the show again. And you're welcome to hang in. This is like tonight's show where the guests.
All right, I just want to say thank you to you guys for having me on the show, and I wanted to say a shout out. Thank you to Florida Villanueva Becca and Phil Becker, who are the exec producers on the project that we've done so far. You know that we're even talking about this now. So
it's a pleasure hanging out with you, sweetheart. But feel free.
All right,
to
it's really nice to meet you, Amanda. Hopefully, we'll
and
talk
you.
Again.
Yes, darling.
God bless both.
We'll do it again.
And you, sweetheart.
All right. Look, that's Kevin Michaels. The song is called Down to Home of Georgia. Maybe we'll actually, no, I tell you, we're going to finish the show when the show ends today with that tune again. We'll listen to it again. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have you back on again. We're going to be right back with...
great. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, great having you, man. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll be...
All right,
you can
take,
hang
care.
Take care.
Bye,
now.
Darling.
We'll be right
later.
Back.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye, darling.
Well, you don't have to go. You can hang if you want to.
Yeah,
but,
you can stay.
Absolutely stay. You're welcome to stay. We're going to have Will and Lee join us right after this break. And hang in there, folks. Don't go away. We're going to have a lot more fun to come here yet on the Andy and Amanda show. There's a lot of excitement coming up ahead. So don't go away. Stay tuned. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.